Sure to help.
Where were you 2 years ago?
Welcome. I'd like to open the Town of Discovery Bay regular meeting tonight, 7 p.m. Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Graves?
Here.
Director Madison?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
All right. Let's all stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Follow up with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do what you pass them on.
At this time, we're going to open up public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During the comments period, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Anybody like to step up, comment? All right, to the podium, please.
I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Rose Solberg, and I have been appointed to serve on your budget committee for this year. I apologize, but I do need to leave this board meeting early. That's why I wanted to take a moment to just say hello. And I look forward to serving on the committee.
Welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for introducing yourself.
Can I make a real quick point of order? Just so Rose and the public and the board are aware, the appointment process will take place later in the agenda. The budget committee consisting of Directors Simon and Tetro met last week and discussed the different applicants. And they were, Rose is one of the nominees for the committee, so I just wanted to straighten that.
Sorry.
Clarify that. It's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Good evening, directors and city staff. My name is Gary Steinberger. I have two items of concern that I just want to put in front of you guys. The first is there seems to be coming up more speeders on Catalina, pretty close to the courts that's on Catalina. Myself, I had contacted the CHP last week, and I was much pleased about the response, and they came out, so I had a lengthy discussion with him, so I was very pleased on that. But for something, the other thing that I may want to look into is possibly speed bumps on that street, if this is a continuing issue over there. My second item in regards to any new development, and I don't know if it may or may not be on your codes already, but to require fire sprinklers inside any new residential buildings that go up or any new additions that may be going through the permit process too, because in the record of fire sprinklers save lives. And I know we've been ongoing with our fire departments, the shortages, and our time delays. So with fire sprinklers, no houses pretty much ever burned down, and usually it extinguishes itself within 5 minutes. So that's, I'd like to see if it's not already on the code. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? All right, we'll close public comment now. I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, public. I'm pleased to introduce to you this evening Lenora Clark. Lenora is formerly with the Department of Voting, I'm sorry, she was with the, I'll let you introduce the agencies, you were in. However, Director Madison, I attended a meeting with Lenora last week, and I asked her to come and speak to us this evening. Since we do have a couple of different items on the agenda tonight regarding Delta-related matters, and she has some news on the Two Gates project. So with that, Lenora, please fill us in as you filled us in last week.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
And thank you, Rick, for inviting me to come and speak before the CSD. My name is Lenora Clark, as he mentioned. I'm a 23-year resident of Discovery Bay, and I was a former commissioner for the Department of Boating and Waterways up until March. So I'm a former commissioner. And so we met at a meeting that Mary Pifo had just last week that concerned an update on the Agaria densa issues that we had in Discovery Bay last year. I was chair of the commission last year, and when all of the water weeds were inundating us, I asked the director of Boating and Waterways to come out and take a look at it, because her staff, I don't know what they were doing, they were giving a lot of doing a lot of fancy footwork, but they weren't attending to the Agaria densa. So when she came out and visited, we were able to get with some other people in the town, and they sprayed last year. The meeting that we had just a week or so ago indicated that they would be treating this year, but we're going to need to get together with some going forward plans on what our management of the invasive species is going to be. And I see that you have on your calendar a discussion of Joan Buchanan's bill on the sponge plant. But I was asked to come and talk a little bit about what's going on, not only with the invasive species in Discovery Bay, but I did get information just a few days ago that the Two Gates Project, and I don't know how familiar everybody is with Two Gates, but it's something that a lot of us got together with Mary, and she was able to get some congressional representatives to come, and NOAA, and look at the Two Gates for what it really was and what it was going to do to Discovery Bay. I'm a past president and on the board of directors for Recreational Boaters of California, and we have continued to follow the Two Gates Project and going to all the meetings that they're having around Northern California on it. And the last word I had was that it has officially been shelved, and if not completely put aside, that nobody is really paying a lot of attention to it now. And that was good news, because it would have affected a lot of us and our ability to get in and out of Discovery Bay in our boats. And nobody seemed to think that closing off Indian Slough and the railroad bridge was like closing off, you know, highway, you know, I-80 for cars. But we were able to prevail. And so then at the meeting last week, I asked people to really be cognizant of the fact that the governor has proposed that the Department of Boating and Waterways be eliminated, and that a lot of the things that they do presently be taken over by Parks and Rec. I will be testifying at the Little Hoover Commission next Wednesday, which is April 25th, when they're going to be hearing public testimony on whether or not that proposal has validity and whether or not it will go through. The Little Hoover Commission is a real interesting iteration in government, because they only recommend to the legislators what they think is good in the governor's reorganization and what is not. And then it's given to the legislature, and they have 60 days to vote it up or down. And it's going to be voted up or down in one total package. So there's a lot of people that have gotten together, boaters, people from the Delta waterfront communities, because we recognize what the Department of Boating and Waterways does for us personally, and the fact that it is not financed through the general fund whatsoever. It's paid for by our gas tax, when we buy gas for our boats, registration fees that are gathered for our boats, and the repayment of loans and grants that are given out to marinas to improve launch ramps and all sorts of programs for the benefit of boaters. We feel that taking that away and putting it in parks, and we all know the kind of problems that parks has had for the last decade or so in keeping parks open, in the deferred maintenance that's going on in parks, and it goes on and on and on. And to put a well-run agency, such as the Department of Boating and Waterways, into an agency that's presently failing does not make good sense or good government. And it's not going to save any money, but it will give parks an opportunity to control the $67 million that is budgeted for boating and waterways each year and comes, as I said, from boaters' gas tax and registration fees. Questions?
Yes. Can any one item be pulled out of the Hoover Commission, as you would, like, say, on a consent calendar, so it would not be voted for in an entire package like that?
According to the Little Hoover Commission statutes, it cannot. But we have been in touch with legislators all throughout the state who are writing letters individually about boating and waterways and the fact that they don't feel like it should be part of the reorganization plan. And we just will have to see how it plays out. A lot of letter writing has gone on. Voters have signed 4,000 letters so far opposing the elimination of the Department of Boating and Waterway, and along with that, its commission. And the commission is the public forum for the spending of that money. So I sent some copies of letters and information on electronically so that they can be given out to whomever is interested. I've been in contact with Joan Buchanan and Mark DeSaulnier, and they are going to be writing letters. So, you know, it takes us, the people that are going to be adversely affected, to actually speak up and ask that they do the right thing. The intricacies of the Hoover Commission is that once they have their 30 days in looking at each and every one of these proposals, and I have some information on it that I can leave with you, then they give it to the legislature, and it has to be either voted up or down. If they fail to vote it down, then it takes effect.
If I can just add one last thing. At the meeting last week, there was a call to arms, like Lenora said, to send letters. And so in your package this evening, we do have a letter that I drafted for court consideration to send to the governor on this, as well as another letter to send to Assemblymember Joan Buchanan regarding the South African spongeweed, which if this turns out to be a sample that was collected off of Mr. Richardson's dock, but that's not good news, because we were informed last week that it had not made its way this far down the Delta yet. So if that's the case, that's a bad scenario. So we're going to get this checked out and verified.
We were in that boat last year.
Yeah.
Looking at the weed, they said that they hadn't seen
it. Yeah, it was here last year.
It was here last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let me just, Lenore, before you leave, let me just say, give you the proper credit, because I worked on that committee. You know, I was in those meetings last year with you and Lucia and the rest of the DBW, and I just want to thank you for all you've done for Discovery Bay in being advocates for us. I know you live here, and it's a benefit to us that you do, and I just want to thank you for all you did on that to get those funds to us that at least resolved the issue for last year, and we hope carries through to this season also, so we can have a good voting season. So thank you for all you've done. It was a great job.
Well, like you say, I live here. This was the first season in 23 years that my grandkids couldn't swim.
Wow.
In the water because the divers were coming up green. So it was not a good thing. They spent over $2 million in the spraying of Discovery Bay and Bethel Island, with some success in Bethel Island, with a lot of success in Discovery Bay. Their plan is to do that same thing this year, but they can't go on forever. And that's why the going forward process and whatever we're going to do to ensure that we manage it is very, very important.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Any director's comments? All right, so go ahead. Kevin, you have anything to
add on? Oh, are we on items D?
Yes, we're on D.
Is anybody? Nobody else? Well, I have a few reports, a couple reports. I went to, for the first time in about a quarter, I went to the Aviation Advisory Committee meeting last Thursday in regards to how this affects us here in Discovery Bay. The new energy plant, Mariposa Energy Plant, that was put in at the east side of the airport has the mitigation funds that are coming back to the area from that are about $800,000. And that'll be used to upgrade the airport and the roads around it and work on some safety issues, gating systems, and other things that need upgrading. There are a lot of aviators that reside here within Discovery Bay that use Byron Airport, and it will be an advantage to them. And also some of the events that they plan to hold over at the Byron Airport. I also went to the Independent Special District Selection Committee meeting on Monday. Voted for Mike McGill. Thank you. I want to say Mike McGrew every time I start that. Mike McGill. It's pretty good. There was 34 out of 44 districts were represented. That's pretty big. Good turnout. So there's obviously a quorum. And the votes went 29 for Mr. McGill and 5 for Mr. Schmidt. So Mr. McGill will be in for another 2-year term, I believe. Is it a 4-year term? I can't recall. 2-year? And I went to the transplant committee meeting on Thursday evening, and there was nothing big to report other than the fact that they are finally starting to work, and this only affects those of us that commute that way and then up into the Delta. They're starting to work on that on-ramp that's going to go on to 160 off of the bypass because it's dumb. We can't get onto the Antioch Bridge going this direction without going down into Oakley and coming back on. So there's talks about that construction starting pretty soon. So other than that, do you want to comment on Friday night? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jimmy, you have anything?
I do not.
Okay. So last Friday night, the Byron Union School District had the Measure C dedication of Excelsior Middle School, and it was attended by our state education superintendent, Tom Torlakson, was there, as well as a good turnout, probably 40 or 50 people, families took tours. All the construction's completed or being finalized for the new classrooms, library, and gymnasium. And they had the new theater all finished out with the nice seating. But anyway, the money was spent very well and carefully. And even though they had some cutbacks and stuff, these guys were able to balance their budget and pull off a very nice facility for our kids. They also had a guy named Bubba Parris there, and he was a pretty good motivational speaker there. But he definitely reminded everybody that there's a big plan and a purpose, and we just need to recognize what we're doing while we're in the moment. So anyway, also just a reminder that the Excelsior Middle School and Timber Point Elementary School were distinguished schools in the state of California. They're recently recognized on that. So that's my comments for tonight.
Just point of clarification, President, the gymnasium actually will be dedicated in August. It's not completed yet, but the other buildings were dedicated at this point, and the Measure C money was celebrated for that.
That's good. Let's move on to our consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous? New business, I'll turn this over to staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Back on March 7th, the board directed staff to seek out members of the public that would be interested in serving on this year's fiscal 2012-13 budget review ad hoc committee. Director Simon and Tetro were appointed by the board at that time to serve on that committee. We posted on our website as well as distributed press releases regarding the vacancies for three public at-large members. We received six applications for serving on the committee. And last week, Directors Simon and Tetro and I met and identified three candidates, Robert Graham, Judy Smith, and Roseanne Solberg, and you heard from Ms. Solberg earlier this evening, to serve on that committee. And at this point, I would turn it over to Director Simon and or Director Tetro to see if they have any additional comments that they might want to add.
Other than that, we're going to conduct this basically the same way we conducted it last year. It would be very informal. What we want is, more than anything, is input. And we want input from the residents so that when the budget does come out, in the event that there is an increase or status quo, they can go back to other residents and say, look, I sat on that committee, and I know that the money that's being spent is being spent correctly, it's being spent properly, and it's being spent with our best interest in mind. And that is our goal at this point. So we're looking forward to ran our low budget forward to work with the new committee. Last year was very productive. It was a great budget committee. We came up with a very solid budget. It was pretty painless. We're looking to do the same this year, so we will put a schedule together. We already have a schedule.
Schedule together. Our first meeting will actually be, I believe, on April the 25th. I believe it's the date we selected. It's
we
do today.
Have we notified everybody?
Yes. The candidates that were nominated this evening have been notified, and they have been given the schedule. And I'd like to just point out one thing. All three candidates bring a very strong financial background to the table. So I think that probably more than most distinguished them from some of the other candidates.
I'd also like, just as an add, we'd like to encourage residents who are not on the committee, as we did last year, come in and sit down and listen to what's going on. I mean, you got a really good idea what's going on in this town when you see what the budget really is and what it takes to put it together. So if you have time and you're interested, we welcome you join us. Meanwhile, we'll have our first meeting on the 25th and hopefully it'll be productive. Thank you.
It would probably be appropriate for Director Simon, as the chair of that committee, to make a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion we accept the three candidates.
Robert Graham, Judy Smith, and Roseanne Solberg.
Thank you very much. Very well.
as the other committee member, I will second that. Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
I forgot we did the motion.
Okay.
The next item for you this evening is, if you recall, a couple months back, the board created the establishment of a recreation ad hoc committee to work with staff to develop recreational opportunities on behalf of the district. At that time, the board, in creating that committee, held off on making the appointments to that committee due to the vacancy at that time that was on the board. Since this is the first full meeting that we have a full board, it's appropriate to bring that back so that we can make those appointments this evening. Attached to your agenda report this evening is a district representative listing, as well as some, there are three, well, technically there's four vacancies on the alternates and one vacancy on the primary representative on that list. So it would be appropriate this evening for the board to fill those vacancies.
Just first of all, can we do any other changes as far as responsibilities at this time also, if there's a motion made?
According to the agenda, your agenda item dictates the scope of what you can do, and it is broad. It says appointment of board members to district representative committee positions. That means you can do with them as you please.
Okay.
And I forget the process on this, council. Do we have to nominate? No, you can just, it's a volunteer situation. Don't we just kind of discuss it amongst ourselves?
Yeah. In accordance with your, pardon me, just a rule of order, your bylaws dictate that the president makes appointments to committees.
Well, we can ratify. I would like to serve with Mark on the parks and landscaping.
And then,
our new director seems
to, yeah.
Jim, what was like?
Since I like to get on a couple of these things.
Yeah, I thought you would want to be on the recreation ad hoc committee.
That'd be one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you want to be the primary or the?
I'll be the primary. And I'd like to be on the parks, and I could be the secondary on that parks and landscaping.
Parks.
I think
Rage
is speaking to that one.
Well, yeah. It's up to the president. I'd like to go to another item also as LAFCO. My schedule's pretty full right now, and I'd like to just make a recommendation that Jim and Mark continue on that, but I'm going to have to step off on that right now. Is it okay with Jim's primary?
Sure. Yeah,
okay. Are you available for that?
Mm-hmm. Jim,
yep.
Are you interested?
Are you talking about? Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. I want to ask him for you.
Yeah. And then, Kevin, which ones did you want to be
I'm
on?
I'm fine with the way. No, I'm good with what I have.
You want to be on the recreation committee?
I can, as a, if nobody else is
second
alternate, I'll do that, sure.
Okay, so Ray is going to stay on as the second on the parks and landscape. Jim's going to be the first on LAFCO, and Jim's going to be the first on recreation.
Anything else I'm okay?
Is that okay? Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Jim?
Yeah.
Okay? I'm okay with that. Transportation, we need an alternate.
I got to tell you that's not something that's regular attendance.
That's right. It's a monitor of the situation.
And police services also doesn't have.
Jim, you want
sure.
Transportation?
Sure.
You can put me as the second on police service if you want. But
yeah.
And you're going to send out these modifications. We don't have to worry about it, right, Carol?
Right.
Okay, so I've the only thing that's happened in my purview, I think, is I've gone as the alternate for rec ad hoc. That's the only change for me. Okay.
Do we change anything else, or is that it?
I think that's it.
Kevin, you're the ad hoc for, I mean, the rec.
I'm the second for, yeah.
I'll go through it.
The only other one that I would bring to the board's attention is I am the alternate for code enforcement. I go to them regardless of what I would be attending in the event a board member is attending anyway. But if, for example, another board member didn't want to serve as an alternate so that you do get board representation there versus just staff representation, this might be an applicable time to make that determination.
Mark, do you want to or Jim?
Well, I've been on it, but it just depends on when they.
What are the afternoon meetings?
They're the third Thursday at 1:30 in the afternoon.
In Brentwood, typically?
In Brentwood.
Yeah, and I can, I mean, with enough notice, I can usually make that. I mean, I can do it like usually.
Jim, you have any interest? Or?
Sure. If you want to do it, that'd be great, or I can do it.
If you can, I mean, because
that'd be perfect. Sure, absolutely.
So, Jim, Jim going to fill in the alternate role?
Yes.
Or in the primary role?
It's up to you guys.
I think it's irrelevant at this point. I think actually, because it's not two directors, it's not relevant.
I put them in and take me off.
All right, I got it. All right, I'm gonna go through this here.
What about transportation?
Jim? All right.
And Jim is going in as the secondary?
Yeah, I'm just gonna go through the changes on here, what I understand here.
Hold on a second.
So I'm gonna recommend the appointment of, for code enforcement, Marcus primary, Jim is alternate. On LAFCO, Jim is gonna replace me as primary. Park and landscaping is gonna be Mark and Ray. Police services is gonna be Ray and Mark. The rec committee is gonna be Jim and Kevin. And then transportation is gonna be Kevin and Jim. Is there any changes? That sound okay to everybody? Okay. We normally do this on our first week in January, so we'll be revisiting this in January unless something changes. Thank you.
The next item is the discussion on the property known as the Carvalho property. That's at the corner of Bixler and Point of Timber Road. You may be familiar with it. It's owned by the Hoffman Company. And it, David Lennon called me or emailed me this morning asking if he could have this item pulled until the next meeting. He would like to be here for this item, and due to a commitment he couldn't get out of, he asked that this item be moved forward to the next meeting.
I'll make a motion that we pull this. Do we have a motion?
So I'll turn it over to staff for Gilda.
Yeah, Bernie's here tonight. He's going to go over, he's actually got a handful of items to go through. The regular monthly report, as well as some information relative to the SSO that we had out on Willow Lake. We've got some video to show you, which might be helpful in understanding what took place out there both last year and this year.
Thank you, President Steele and directors. I'll go through the monthly report.
Is the red light on?
The red light's on.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, sorry. For the month, we continue our working safely. We're almost at 40,000 safe hours, which is excellent accomplished by the staff. Continue our safety and operation training. On the water side, we have been making some adjustments, and mainly on the Newport last month. We've been doing some adjustments on valves and running some new tubing over there to help improve that system. We produced a little over 67 million gallons of water last month. And we had no hits on our weekly samples. On the wastewater side, we continue to do our maintenance and work on improving the system. We had a company come out and calibrate all our flow meters. So they have to be calibrated yearly and certified. We had that completed. We have started work on the UV system at the plant. There were some issues that we have found that have not been taking place, and we have got a service tech out actually to speak this week to get that system back up to where it needs to be. And we replaced some parts on our belt press offer. Down here on the collection side, we continue our flushing program. We flushed a little over 60,000 feet last month, 6,000 feet, I'm sorry. Inspected 38 manholes. We're at year to date on flushing a little over 52,000 feet, about 79% of our completion for this year. And actually, we actually finished that yearly goal today. We finished that up, so next month I'll update that for you. And we worked on some hot spots, which is troubled areas, which has been over here on Willow and Drake, which I'll show you some video on those hot spots while we're. Continue, you have to go back and hit over and over and over, and I'll show you why in the video. And we continue to work on pump stations. If the director's not aware, pump station F, which is right over here on the corner of Willow, that's the main pump station at Keith treatment plant. So we have to kind of keep that, what we work on those pumps monthly, keep it a pit clean so it works continuous like it's supposed to. On the wastewater lab side, as you can see, we still are doing very well on our lab data, averaging about 1.6 on our flow. We're well below on all our permit limits, and maintenance-wise, we continue to, like I said, we have 274 work orders all completed. Our service emergency calls went down. We only had two last month, which is a big accomplishment. And you can see the overtime is getting minimized. So we're all making a huge progress in repeated incidents. Yes, sir.
Did you say anything about Well 5?
Well 5. I don't currently have a status on Well 5.
No, the roof is off.
They were out yesterday taking some video.
Okay.
Town staff's been drilling.
Oh, the town, okay.
I was going to do that again.
Okay.
Okay, Bernie, I probably ask this every month, and I probably forget every month, but with items, the BODs and the TSS, we seem to always be over the permit limits. What's the impact of that?
Which one?
Percent of removal BOD, and...
Well, our permit limit's 85%, so we have to be at least 85 or higher.
Okay, so it goes the other direction.
We can't really get a whole lot better.
Okay, perfect, good. I was reading it wrong. I guess I haven't asked that before.
Yeah, 85 is the minimum you can be at.
All the way down, it's under the limit, and then those two happen to be what we were supposed to be over the limit. Okay, I'm with you now.
I'll make a correction.
So. I wish the last line we were supposed to be over the limit too, but that's not true.
Right. So yeah, we're doing very well on our percent removal.
Are we at full strength in employees?
Yes, we are.
Good job.
I'd
like to hear that.
Yeah, not your map.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
So what I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk well. What I'm showing you here, this on this map I gave you, this is Willow, and it shows over here, there's a yellow, orange line. That's Willow. This is manhole 80 going up to manhole 89, and that's where we had the overflow back in January. So this is what we've seen when we went out and videotaped the line. Let's get this stuff out of here. This is just the data when the gentleman started. Talks about where we're at, what we're doing.
So it starts at Marina and works up towards Drake's? Drake's and moves up towards?
We're starting at Marlin and Willow.
And up towards Drake's.
And headed towards Drake's.
Okay.
So this is the camera taking a picture of the actual sewer line. This, you can see it's clay pipe. There we go. Turn this camera around there. But you see all this white stuff on that's buildup of grease, oil or grease. Somebody's been down a drain that has, where you can say whether the sewer line has not been maintained for a long period of time. On the bottom side, it's fairly clean. It's just the top of it where grease is built up, and this is what caused the overflow that night we had. A piece of this had dropped off into it, and it built up. And so this is you can see the buildup of grease on this line.
What do we do? How do you correct that?
I'll show you on the next video. We put a high pressure truck line down there with a nozzle that goes around and it heats it up. That's what it looked like before we went back. That's why I said we've been hitting these hot spots pretty hard.
Was that the worst of the three?
That's the worst of section. There's a couple of other areas that were bad. I was going to show you that also.
I see that they happen to be, one of them happens to be right downstream from General Manager Howard's place, so that would make sense.
See, it's pretty healthy.
Just an observation, you know. I'm just saying.
gonna speed this up to the end here. I'm gonna show you. This is at the end of, this is a manhole at the end of Marlin there. And this is all just, this is just buildup of grease and fat and oil over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And the town staff had to actually hire a contractor to go down in that manhole and chip all that out. To get all that that heavy grease debris out of that manhole. But yeah, you can see that's just built up. So we're going from an 8-inch down to, you know, down to some inches there.
Yeah.
You don't have much room for water to flow.
You can probably back up a little bit.
You were going to.
I was going to say, you can
hole?
See that little tiny
right.
hole is, yeah. that's almost completely yeah. being blocked.
That's the only thing, that's where the flow was coming out of it. That's how, and that's an 8-inch.
Fortunately, there were only about 15 houses, 20 houses upstream of that.
Which makes you even wonder a little bit more about why, with only 15 to 20 homes upstream, what is it that's going on in those 15 or 20 homes?
Yeah, it's probably never been cleaned before.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to go back and find the other one here.
So does it calcify?
Yeah, when some of the groundwater gets in there, it does calcify, and then and as grease hardens over time, it gets really hard like bone.
Almost like concrete.
Yeah.
So thick,
so hard.
So hard.
So this is after we went back and we jet rotted that willow, that line on Willow and Marlin. Let's see if we can get this to squat here. But you can see the now how more clear it is. It's because we went down it with a jet rotter pumper truck. You put a certain nozzle into that with high pressure water. And it just eats that grease away on top, and it drops down. Then we suck it up with a high vacuum truck. This is the equipment that the town owns. But this is the same line you seen earlier. It had all that white stuff, all that white buildup grease on top. And this is what it looks like now that we've hit it several times, and we'll go back and continue to hit it just about every month just to make sure we continue to get that.
Bernie, what's our confidence level that there aren't other places that have not yet given us an indication that they're hotspots throughout the town? I mean, we don't routinely go through and scope these, do we?
That's what we're doing now. We're doing 25% of the sewer line per year.
Okay.
And like I said, we finished the first 25% actually today, which is 66,000 feet. You have 50 miles of sewer line, and we're doing roughly 13, 14 miles a year. So we're videotaping it and flushing it, finding the hotspots, making a record of it, and we'll put those on a more routine schedule.
Gotcha. Good job.
How about right here where you just went through it?
Yeah, back that up.
Bernie, with that nozzle on that on the pump, with that nozzle, how far can you actually go down that pipe that it works?
The truck has 500 feet of hose on it. We can go up to 500. Usually from manhole to manhole is less than 500 feet. You can't go more than 500 feet on a straight line without putting a
So you actually have the high pressure is on it, and then it's just like a snake. You run it down there.
Right, so
and
it's a hose, like a 1-inch hose.
Yep.
And it's got super high pressure on the back
yep.
of it, and then you put different nozzles on it. Depends on what you want to do in the line.
Okay.
Like we'll take a regular flushing nozzle to flush it out. Then we can put it's called a warhog, and it goes in and it spins around like a blade. It's got edges on it, and it eats the grease up inside it.
Right.
Breaks it down, then the truck has a big vacuum on the back of it, and we suck it up out of the manhole.
It's like your first wife was a warthog, wasn't it? Same
Ooh.
Thing? It's the same wife?
Second. Don't talk about my
second
son's
mother. Second the motion?
Don't talk about my son's mother that way. true or not, don't talk about it. You talking about that white stuff there?
Yeah, that's just a small, but you can see that where it's not really hanging down no more. We've hit this several times, but we need to continue to get it till we get all of it out. But you can see the difference since before and after.
Part of it's reflecting too, it looks like.
Detour. And then I wanted to show you gentlemen our new little. And with that first overflow we had, we now have a spill response trailer. This is a trailer that the town already owned. We already owned this trailer, the town did. So we went and took this, and now anytime in the future, hopefully we never do again, we have a spill. This trailer goes to the site and has everything in that trailer that we need to respond to an overflow.
We just saw that trailer the day before this happened.
Yeah, it's got all our spill kits in it. It has all our tools in it. So when we get to the site, this is our absorbent material, our signs, anything we need's in that trailer, so we don't have to hunt around, go back and forth. We can respond to the spot, take care of it.
It's got wattles and everything in it.
Everything okay. In it we need. So whoever's on call gets the call. They hook that trailer up, go to the site. Everything's there. Yes, and this trailer will be down Saturday to show the public that Earth Day.
All right.
Gentlemen, I'll have more video as we come and get it, as it comes to me, to show you before and after and the progress we're making as we continue to do this sewer. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, and good job on the safety record.
I think, Director Tetra, did you ask about well five and there's no...
You can start to respond to
okay.
It.
Okay.
Because it's the town's job working on that.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I'd like to turn the meeting over to our general manager for the report.
Thank you. Bernie, thank you very much. I know they've been working really hard out there. In fact, the other day I saw the video truck out on Willow Lake where they had been out a month or so previously, and I didn't realize that they were out videotaping the work they cleaned up, so it's nice to see the results now.
Yeah.
I've got a few things. The first one is I want to inform the public. I've already informed the board that on Monday morning we had a fuse blow out of Lake's lift station number 4, or at Village 4 lift station out of the lakes. That resulted in a power failure, which resulted in a small sanitary sewer overflow of less than 200 gallons. The flow was all contained on site. None of it was, none of it entered any of the storm waters, storm drains, the delta, the lakes. It was all contained on site. The trailer did roll to the site. It was not necessary to use it. However, the back truck did roll out there and staff rolled out there, and that was all cleaned up within a short period of time. That's it on that item. Well 5A, that you know, we pulled well 5A about a week and a half or so ago. We've been having, as you recall, we had some high salinity in that well, and so the engineers are trying to determine what the cause of that is. Yesterday they did the temperature and the temperature analysis, which was which came in on target, was accurate, and they did the videotaping of the casing all the way down, the piping all the way down to the well. It's about 350 feet if I recall. And they did not find any seepage from the outer casing into the well, which means that there's no there's no leakage or any water getting into the well, into the third aquifer down from either of the other two aquifers. So that was very good news. That's at least the preliminary results that we heard yesterday afternoon. So the engineers are taking all their data. They're going back right now, and they're going to analyze all that and come back with the final report as to what the actual root cause is of that high salinity. We don't have it over at well 4, which is in the same aquifer, so it's a little bit of a little bit of an issue in terms of where's the high salinity coming from. Is it a one-time thing? Was it just something that based on inflows of the absorption into that aquifer that are happening at that particular point in time with that location. We don't know. We're waiting on the information. So that's all I have on that at this point in time. Obviously, soon we'll know more. I'll let you know that.
Was that just down in like real-time monitoring? Is that how we found that? So on a new level?
Yeah, we monitor. We do daily monitor. We test our water every day in all of our wells. I'm sorry, Bernie, do we test our wells every day? No, we test our storage tanks every day.
This came about because every 2 years, every 3 years, they do a salinity on the wells. This is how it's detected. They did a sample, found it high. Why was it so high? So we started doing some research, and this is where they're at now.
But they do test the quality of the water. Your crew tests that regularly.
Yeah, that's done on a daily basis.
So we really have no idea how long this salinity issue's been in play. It's 2 years since we've checked it.
It did. We pulled well 4 last year on a regular scheduled maintenance, and we didn't have any issues on well 4. There was no concern with well 4, and it comes out of the same aquifer.
Well, they all come out of the same aquifer.
Well, but that one's a lot closer in mm-hmm. terms of proximity to 4. 1, 2, and 6 are a mile away from it, so there could be. Yeah.
So no leaching from any other aquifer?
That's the preliminary. Results, yes. Last night, some of you may have experienced a power outage in town. I don't know if any of you did. I believe it was primarily on the west side of town. It was around 6 p.m.
I was out.
And I received the phone call. And I rolled down to the plant and was ready to hook up a generator trailer to my car and bring it out. They did roll generators. The generator did kick on in plant 1. When I was down there, the alarms were sounding and the red lights were flashing, but all was well with the generators running. Power was out for about an hour, from what I understand. And it's important that when we do have a power outage, that we recognize it's just not power that's out. You just can't, you know, turn your lights, turn your TV. The lift stations aren't working either at that point in time. And so all of our lift stations have a connector to a backup generator, and our plants are all 24-hour, all on standby generators. There's a very large one right outside the door here for as an example for you to see. So that was good news in that regard. The last item I have, just a reminder, Saturday's Earth Day for us here in Discovery Bay. We, as of the last count, we have approximately 190 volunteers who have signed up for that. We have a lot of people that are extremely interested and we're looking forward to it. We encourage you all to attend. I know Jim's going to be there, and I believe Chris Steele's going to be there. Kevin Redfield is out of town. And so we're looking forward. I know it's opening day at the Yacht Club, and so there's a lot of other activities going on in town. But we encourage the public to come on out. It'll be a good opportunity. And it'll be a nice event and get a chance to see some of the things that are going on in town. So good opportunity for us to promote ourselves. And that is about all I have, unless you have any other questions. And I'd like to welcome Jim to the board from the staff.
Thank you very much.
We'll keep us posted. Thanks. Turn it over to council, please.
No report, sir.
Any committee updates? I don't see them moving very fast on that.
You will have one at the next meeting because the budget committee will.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, we've got correspondence from the fire district, aviation advisory, and transplant. Any comments on public records? None. Any future agenda items? Yes, please.
Rick, if you can, for the next agenda, please furnish the board with a updated. That's what I'm looking for here. I'd like to know exactly what's wrong with the large water users, exactly who's paid, who hasn't paid, how we build them, whether we build them, and how much they're in arrears. I understand we're under the impression that we're being paid all along, and now I find out that we're not. So I'd like a full accounting of who has paid and who has not paid.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to have a future agenda item to talk about the office space needs for our town offices and discussion how we can be more efficient and save money on that. So if we could have a consolidated office space agenda item would be good.
That's what that was for.
Nothing else, I think. Anything? Any final comment from the public?
All right.
Thank you.
Adjourned.